This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you and good afternoon. This week is National 4-H Week, and today we'll hear from 4-H Program Coordinator for Montgomery County, Alicia Hughes.
I'm the 4-H Program Coordinator here in Montgomery County. I manage the 4-H program overall and try to set up programs and volunteers for different clubs here in the county.
There are between 200 and 230 4-H members each year in Montgomery County, ranging from age 5 to 18. Alicia says National 4-H Week is recognized annually as a way to bring attention to the 4-H groups and what they have to offer.
It's a nationally recognized week for us to set aside and bring attention to 4-H and what it does in our communities and what we have to offer the kids in the area. It started on Sunday and it runs through Saturday, and you'll see window displays around towns, you'll see signs and posters. Some businesses will use their digital signs even to announce that it's 4-H Week and support us. So be on the lookout for that, or even maybe some flyers hanging in some business windows.
In honor of the week-long celebration, there will be a family science night on Saturday, October 10th at the Extension Office in Hillsboro.
We have our Family Science Night this year on Saturday, the last day of 4-H Week, and it's here at the Extension Office, and the theme this year is Tech Adventure, and we're just going to kind of focus on different technologies that are out there and different careers that kids could look to in the future in technology, and we're even going to have a 3D printer here as a display, and it's going to be demoing some printing, and they can even make their own craft that has tech in it, and they'll get to take that home with them. We're going to have free food. We'll have computers taken apart so you can see what goes on the side of a computer, and maybe touch a little bit on some coding in the short time frame. There won't be a lot, but they'll just get a taste of a lot of different things. The whole family is invited, but the stations are targeted for ages 5 to 18. That's this Saturday from 5 to 7 p.m. here at the Extension Office.
I also had a chance to talk with fifth grader Emma Hughes of Hillsboro, who is Alicia's daughter, and she shared what her favorite projects are in 4-H.
I like to show my dog in 4-H. I also like to do the music contest that I get to do this year because I have an instrument.
When I asked her why other children or her friends should join 4-H, this was her response.
It's lots of fun, and you can come for parties, go to camps. They also do fun things, like sometimes at the meetings we'll plan like a day, we go to the bowling alley.
National 4-H Week will be recognized until this Saturday, October 10th. And if you'd like more information about the Montgomery County 4-H program, you can contact the Hillsboro Extension Office at 217-532-3941. Once again, that was Alicia Hughes, the 4-H program coordinator for Montgomery County, and her daughter, fifth grader Emma Hughes. We'll be back with more after these messages. The Illinois Crop Report was released yesterday. Dry weather throughout much of the state allowed producers to continue fall tillage, fertilizer application, and corn and soybean harvest. Statewide precipitation averaged 0.45 inches, 0.3 inches below normal. The average temperature was 59.2 degrees, 1.6 degrees below normal. There were 6.4 days suitable for field work for the week ending October 4th. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 5% very short, 22% short, 66% adequate, and 7% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 3% very short, 21% short, 71% adequate, and 5% surplus. Corn mature reached 95% compared to 89% last year and the five-year average of 91%. Corn harvest was 50% complete, an increase of 20 percentage points over last week. Corn condition was rated 5% very poor, 10% poor, 29% fair, 43% good, and 13% excellent. Soybeans dropping leaves reached 86%, a jump of 11 percentage points over last week. Soybean harvest was 49% complete compared to 31% for the five-year average. Soybean condition was rated 4% very poor, 10% poor, 26% fair, 48% good, and 12% excellent. Negotiators have wrapped up an agreement on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a massive trade bill that includes the United States and 11 other Pacific Rim nations. National Farmers Union President Roger Johnson says, "Unfortunately, it appears we have not learned from past mistakes, and this trade deal again lacks enforceable language against currency manipulation."
Currency manipulation has become our trade competitors' favorite maneuver for skirting massive trade deals as soon as they sign them. Once these trade deals become effective, countries devalue their currency, immediately reducing the cost of their goods to us and everyone else, and at the same time increasing the cost of our goods to them, thereby increasing our trade deficit. By not addressing currency manipulation, the TPP negotiators have not secured an effective and fair trade deal.
While politicians on both sides of the aisle endorse trade agreements that claim to reduce or remove tariffs and export subsidies, large regional pacts like the Trans-Pacific Partnership are also about setting fair rules for trade. Most of the TPP pertains to non-tariff barriers and includes chapters on the environment, labor rights, and intellectual property.
Currency manipulation should be included as its own chapter, since it's one of the most fundamental non-tariff barriers to trade. As a result of currency manipulation, it's nearly impossible for the U.S. to get a fair shake in these trade deals. In fact, if you look at the data from the trade deals we've already entered, the strongest correlation you can find is that the more trade deals we sign, the more jobs we lose, and the higher our trade deficit grows. About half of that trade deficit is a direct result of currency manipulation.
The notion of currency manipulation is not speculation, according to Johnson. In August, Vietnam, one of the participating countries in TPP, devalued its currency in response to a major devaluation by China earlier this summer. Malaysia and Singapore have also intervened in their currency by increasing reserves by an unprecedented amount. And there's nothing stopping others in the agreement from manipulating their currencies as well.
A recent report from the International Monetary Fund demonstrates the power of devaluation of a currency. It found that a 10% fall in the value of a nation's currency can increase exports for that country by an average of 1.5% of GDP. At that point, the playing field is no longer level, and trade is neither free nor fair.
Johnson says that currency manipulation is an enormously unfair trade measure that continues to be used to outmaneuver the U.S. government and urges Congress to reject the TPP in its current form to protect American family farmers, ranchers, and the communities in which they live.
Our trade competitors will continue to be able to cheat the fair trade system to the detriment of the American economy, American jobs, and rural America. Congress should reject the notion that this deal is anything different than past agreements that failed to address currency manipulation. Family farmers, ranchers, and rural residents should all be calling their representatives to tell them to oppose the current form of the TPP. It is simply not worth the paper it is written on, as long as it does not deal with currency manipulation.
Once again, that was Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union. That's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.